appreciate it. When I was young, me and my mama had beef. 17 years old, kicked out on the streets. Though back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place.
That is Dear Mama, Tupac Shakur's 1995 homage to his mother and to all mothers struggling to survive. Now, of course, it's been treasured by Tupac fans for years, but now it is officially a national treasure, part of the National Recording Registry at the Library of Congress. Among the other works that were recently deemed culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant and thus deserving of preservation are Little Richard's Tutti Frutti, Cliff Edwards' When You Wish Upon a Star, Bill Cosby's second album titled I Started Out as a Child, and Azúcar Para Ti by Eddie Palmieri. We wanted to know more about the whole process for being deemed a cultural treasure or worthy of preservation. So we called Matt Barton, the curator of recorded sound at the Library of Congress, and he's with us now. And welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Nice to be here.
I think a lot of people might be surprised that there is a curator of recorded sound, given that I think a lot of us have the experience of the library of being one where people go, shh, you know, not pump up the volume, you know.
Yeah, I guess I'm the opposite of that, huh? Well, the Library of Congress has the world's largest collection of recorded sound. It's over 3 million individual items. And it's not just music or even commercial releases. It extends to things like broadcasts and field recordings and many, many other things. So some days one curator doesn't seem like enough, but I like my job.
So how do we decide what goes on to this registry? There are some 25 recordings are chosen each year.
The first year was 2002, and it joined the Motion Picture Registry, which started about 10 years earlier. And ultimately, the final selections are made by the Librarian of Congress, and that's in consultation with a recording board, but also with the public. Anybody can go to our website and submit a nomination.
Do you happen to know whether the Tupac piece was nominated by the public or what the process was by which it was included?
It was nominated by the public, along with others, by Tupac, but it also had a lot of support on the board. And I think Dear Mama became the selection in the end because it really stands out. I mean, the album that it's on, Me Against the World, deals, I mean, I think he's dealing with his own mortality, actually. You know, he had already been shot and almost killed at that point. And a lot of the album deals with his feelings about that. But then in the middle of it all, you have this statement of unconditional love for his mother.
This list, this year's list, has just a real variety. I think a lot of pieces that many people will know, certainly Coal Miner's Daughter, many people will know. Here's one that I think just always makes me smile whenever I hear it. Tutti Frutti.
Wah, bah, ba, loom, bah, blah, bah, bah, tutti frutti. Oh, who?
What is he talking about? You're the curator. Explain it to me. What's he talking about?
I don't know that it needs a translation.
Why do you think this piece was deemed culturally significant?
Mm-hmm. Well, because Little Richard is culturally significant, first of all. That's his first hit, and it's one of the first rock and roll hits. It's not his first recording. He'd done a number of recordings a year or two before that, hadn't really worked out. And you hear them now, you know, you think, well, that's all right, but that's not really Little Richard. Tutti Frutti removes all doubt. And it was a somewhat risque song that he'd been doing in nightclubs. And it's like you were just saying, though, it always makes you feel good. And I think it's a statement from somebody who loves life.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin. I'm speaking with Matt Barton. He's the curator of recorded sound at the Library of Congress, and we're talking about the National Recording Registry's latest inductions. And you mentioned that the items that are on the registry aren't just spoken word or commercial recordings, but it's also recorded sound from the field. And so I want to play an example of that. This is from the Marine Corps Combat Field Recording Collection from the Second Battle of Guam.
There's all hell to pay directly ahead of us. The beach looks as though it's practically on fire.
Tell us a little bit more about how these recordings were made, why they were made, and who are we listening to there?
Well, the Library of Congress actually played an indirect role in these recordings coming to be. Harold Spivak, who was the director of the music division at that time in the 1940s, provided portable recorders. This is before tape, by the way. They were using some different formats, including wire and something called Amer tape, but it's before the magnetic recording tape that we're familiar with. And the idea actually was to collect songs from soldiers. A lot of soldiers brought in songs, folk songs, with them, and they would, you know, kind of retool them to the current situation. And the thought was, well, we'll get some important American folklore that way. And the Marine Corps thought that was a nice idea, and they did record some songs. But someone got the idea that, well, it would be really meaningful if we could record battle. So that's a recording, you know, they're in the water approaching the beach. That's what you're hearing there.
And back to music, you have a recording by Eddie Palmieri, Azúcar para ti. Tell us about why you think this made the cut.
That's the title track from the album, Azúcar para ti. It's from 1965, and that's Palmieri leading a band known as La Perfecta. And that was a group that he led in the nightclubs and the Latin ballrooms in New York. And that album, that track we just heard, was really the first time that that nightclub sound that he had achieved was recreated in the studio. That's very much what you would have heard in a ballroom at the time. And it represents, I think, a real story of the melting pot, a real fusion. Eddie Palmieri is of Puerto Rican descent, but he's born and raised in New York. And his band included other Puerto Ricans, but also Cubans. I think he had a Brazilian musician for a while. And one of the most important musicians was a trombonist from the Bronx named Barry Rogers, who was from a Jewish family.
Hmm. Well, speaking of diversity, there's a tremendous diversity on this list, and I wish we had time to play something from all the selections. There's one by Paul Wing narrating The Little Engine That Could, and Leon Metcalf, collection of recordings of the first people of Western Washington State. So many things to dig into here. Was that diversity of kind of the American sound part of the point? Was that intentional, or did that just happen?
Oh, yes, absolutely, yeah. Every year when the selection is made, it's, you know, 25 tracks covering just an amazing amount of territory, and with so many stories behind them and representing so much of the country. That's the goal, really.
I just want punk fans to know that they're represented. Patti Smith is on here, too, with
indeed.
Horses from 1975. I don't want anybody to get upset thinking that, you know, that punk isn't in there. But finally, we're going to leave you with one last thing from Bill Cosby, a clip from his 1964 album, I Started Out as a Child, from a live performance by Bill Cosby in Chicago. And I think we have that clip, too. Let's play a little bit of it.
Christmas time. I remember my brother and I, James, we slept in the same bed. Not only at Christmas time, but always. And, you know, parents are funny because kids have a great time. It's like around 9 o'clock at night. That's when kids, I've really had a great time. We were laughing and giggling and bumping our head. You know, having a great pouring water on each other. And the first thing the parent says, "You're getting silly. Go to bed." You know, they don't understand. You know, why? How come we're having fun? No, we want you to look like us. Be evil, smoke, drink, you know.
I think my parents had this album. I think I remember this one. This is just, in fact, I probably could recite this routine at some point. But
yeah, I had a lot of Cosby routines memorized when I was a kid.
And why do you think this made the cut?
The interesting thing about that album is that the bits on it tend to be short, 2 or 3 minutes, and you get a chance to hear everything in his arsenal, everything that he used, all the little microphone tricks and bits of dialogue using different voices. You know, there's another bit on the album about street football, and he recreates a huddle with like 3 or 4 voices, and like the quarterback is diagramming plays by pushing a bottle cap around, and one kid objects to being a bottle cap, you know.
It's still funny to me. So I'm going to put you on the spot. I know you're the curator. You have to be very objective and everything like that. But mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite on this list?
I think it would have to be Little Richard, actually. I mean, I'm a big, big fan. And it just seemed amazing to me we'd gotten this far without putting Little Richard on there. I don't think his impact, his influence is fully appreciated. When you consider how many great singers like Otis Redding or Joe Tex, Don Covey, started off as Little Richard imitators.
And is there anything you can't stand? You think, oh, yeah, that shouldn't be on there. Turn that noise off.
It's not music. That's noise. No, really, it's all good to me.
Okay. Matt Barton is the curator of recorded sound at the Library of Congress. He joined us from Charlottesville, Virginia. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.